Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
And welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. And let's talk about the T. Nothing short of bold and urgent action is needed. That was the conclusion from a special panel of experts tasked with analyzing why the transit system broke down this past winter. Here's Governor Baker speaking yesterday.
The people of Massachusetts deserve a well-managed, well-run, cost-effective transit system. Unfortunately, this report indicates that right now they do not have one.
But does the report put to rest the endless reform versus revenue debate over the MBTA? We're going to take a close look at that with several people now, beginning with Joseph Sullivan, mayor of Braintree. He was a member of the governor's special panel. Mayor Sullivan, welcome to the program.
Hi, Meghna. How are you?
I'm doing very well. So, Mayor, I guess the first thing I want to ask you is the report makes some very clear set of recommendations, not the least of which is they call for the MassDOT board to resign and a new board to be put in and overhaul from top to bottom of the MBTA. But what is the first thing, now that we have the report in hand, that you would actually like to see the governor and legislature do?
Well, I think all of us who care about public transportation should look at this report in a thorough manner. I think it is a good document that does have not only some depth in terms of the policy statements that we've made and the discovery that we're able to accomplish, but also it has an action plan associated with it. And there is, urgent work needed, a state of good repair is needed, as well as trying to get the operations back in place. So I guess to answer your question specifically, we need to file the legislation in a way that creates the Management Control Board and then allows for, as well, the secretary to serve as chairman of a reconstituted MassDOT board, similar as the secretary serves as chairperson of the MassPort board. And I think in that way, we would have a unified, more comprehensive transportation agenda for our Commonwealth. And getting the legislation accomplished would also allow us to have the governor appoint the chief administrator and have the MBTA separated as a particular task that we'll have to accomplish a series of goals that we've set out over the next 3 to 5 years.
Right. So there's been a lot of reaction to the report since it was fully made public yesterday. Some critics have said that they don't see that much new revenue suggested in this report, except for perhaps the T raising fares or getting more money out of the other assets the MBTA owns, essentially the whole own source revenue.
Right.
So I'm thinking about, all the riders, say, on the Red Line, whom I'm sure you know very well.
Right.
I mean, is relying on own source revenue enough?
Well, I think it's a step towards, self-improvement. And by that, I mean there are a number of real estate holdings that the MBTA has that could generate additional revenue. Advertising is low and could be significantly increased as well. Everyone wants to talk about the fare box, F-A-R-E, but I'm not sure it's fair, F-A-I-R, to all those who want to access public transportation now because the system is not running well. And so what we tried to concentrate on, particularly when you think of the capital needs of the MBTA and the inability to put work out the door to improve upon the needed capital improvements and the maintenance that we have to have in place. I mean, people have to have a sense of faith and credibility that the system's going to operate. And if they lose that level of confidence in the system, they're not going to use it. So what I've talked about, and I think members of the panel also have agreed upon in terms of a conversation, is that if we can generate a level of reliability with the system, that's going to increase ridership, and that will therefore increase revenue. So we're focused on making the MBTA a better operating model, and in doing so, I think we'll attract ridership and we'll be able to bring in more revenue.
So finally, Mr. Mayor, I'm curious. I mean, you know as well as anyone that this is, what, the third report since 2007 that has to do with transportation,
yeah.
Or specifically the MBTA.
Right.
The 2007 report was transportation overall in Massachusetts. For those who are jaded transit riders amongst us, I mean, are you any more confident that something actually is going to change this time around?
I am confident, and I will tell you that in 2007, I was a member of the Transportation Finance Commission, which identified a series of needs throughout our Commonwealth, some of which was acted upon. I think the distinction with this plan in particular is not only were we able to do, you know, what is called a deep dive into the issues associated with the MBTA, but also we've put forth an action plan, creating this Finance Management Control Board, creating a new reconstituted MassDOT board with the Secretary serving as chair of that new board, as the Secretary currently serves as chair of the Mass Port Board. We'll bring together a unified transportation agenda for our Commonwealth, and we'll begin to take the corrective steps that we need to take. And let me say this, all six of us who served on the panel have a real desire to improve public transportation. We didn't ask for this assignment. The governor asked us to serve, and I think we felt a need to serve because we care about public transportation. We want it to work. We want people to have faith in the system, and we want to be proud once again of the operations of the MBTA. And let me say as well, there are a series of people at the MBTA who do work hard, who do want what all of us want, which is a better functioning public transportation system. Because if we have that mode that is working in the way that we all want it to work, it's going to help in the other modes in terms of road and also water.
Right.
And just bring together, again, a comprehensive agenda for our Commonwealth. So we decided to serve on behalf of the governor, and with his directive, I think we've come up with a good plan.
Well, Joseph Sullivan, you'll find him at the end of one branch of the main line, because he is, of the red line, I should say, because he is the mayor of Braintree,
right,
and also a member of the governor's special panel that wrote the new report on the MBTA. Mayor Sullivan, thank you so much for your time today.
Agnes, so much. Thank you so much.
All right, well, let's talk to a couple other voices now. Charles Chipio, he's principal at Chipio Strategies and a senior fellow at the Pioneer Institute. He joins us in the studio. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Also with us is Raphael Maris, senior attorney at the Conservation Law Foundation. Raphael, welcome to you.
Thank you for having me.
So, Raphael, let me just start with you. CLF has long been involved in transit issues here in Massachusetts. What's your overall take about the, your first reaction to the report as it was released yesterday?
Well, my first reaction is that the report is actually different from the rollout that you've seen in the media. The rollout originally, based on the leaks, was very much focused on reform only. And what we see is a specific statement here that reform and revenue is needed on page 5 of the report, and then throughout there are examples of where revenue is needed, and I really appreciate that. I do have to say, though, that the report is very much focused on the symptoms of the problems that we see here, but not causes. And without knowing what the causes of the problems are, it is going to be hard to find solutions.
Charlie, do you see that, what Raphael's saying? Because I'm not entirely sure I do, because I feel like maybe in their action plan that the mayor talked about, that they're saying that many of the causes are down to bad management.
Yeah, and I mean, when I read it, to me that is clear. I guess I don't agree with Raphael on that. I think the causes, if you read this document, are pretty clear. And, you know, they're such that should make people like us who ride the T every day, frankly, pretty angry. And I think that Raphael is right. I think that clearly in the long run, there's going to need to be more revenue in the T to make this work. But I think what's, to me anyway, very clear from this report that right now, pouring money into the MBTA is like pouring water into a glass that doesn't have any bottom. I mean, and until that gets changed.
So, Raphael, in that case, how does this report, I mean, we heard what Mayor Sullivan had to say, but in your mind, does this report differ from anything else we've heard before in reform versus revenue or reform before revenue? Because it sounds like this is calling mostly for more reform first.
Well, it's saying reform, you know, both reform and revenue. So it's talking about both. It is not very detailed on the revenue side, and it's much more detailed on the reform side. What I meant before, actually, is that while there are a lot of allegations in there that there is mismanagement, there is really no evidence of that in there. And I'm not saying that the T is perfectly run, but what I'm saying is that when you look at some of the problems that they cite, like absenteeism, that really need to be addressed, they're not explaining why that is happening. And without that, I'm afraid we're going to have a harder time coming up with a solution to it.
Charlie, can I ask you about that? Because Raphael makes a good point, and I wondered about that too, because there's a big section on employee absenteeism, what they imply. They don't state, but they imply as use of the Family Medical Leave Act, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But what I didn't see attached to that is A, reasons, and B, if this problem solved, how much money would it save?
Well, I think that what is different from between this and the other reports in terms of answering those kind of questions is that, for example, the gestation of the transportation finance report was about 3 years. This report was done in a month. And I think for what they accomplished in a month is amazing. And I think that if you look at it, you can say that it's all sort of, that the evidence is not direct enough. But when you see multiple procurements that have taken more than 25 years from beginning to end, when you see 57 days of absenteeism for the, obvious or for the, average T employee, when you see no functioning asset management system, when you see that they couldn't get $2.2 billion of capital money out the door over the last 5 years, you add those things up. And I don't know. I mean, Raphael has a different point of view, and maybe he's right. Maybe I'm missing something. When you see also, by the way, the incredibly low productivity at the T, when you add all those things, I don't know how you come to any conclusion other than that there is a profound management problem at the T. And what I like about this report more than anything is that I think it has the urgency that's necessary, because this is a major problem that is not going to get fixed with a little more money or a little more change around the edges.
Raphael, go ahead.
So I agree with the need for reforms. The challenge I put to you is that, for example, absenteeism is going to bring in a few million dollars at best. We need hundreds of millions of dollars to make the T work properly. So and while it's important to work on these reforms, it isn't possible without revenue. As to fares, I want to point out that there seems to be a call to change the law that was just passed in 2013 that allows the T to raise its fares 5% every 2 years, every other year, and to make it possible for there to be higher fares. And I have serious concerns about that. I can't imagine that after this winter, we want to go back to a policy where we do fare increases that are sort of without any cap or limit, in an irregular fashion. That is bad policy, and I don't think that anybody standing on the platform this winter is going to be up for a fare increase at this time or any time in the near future.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with that in the sense that I think it would be just unconscionable to just raise fares right now. But I would say that that once we can make some changes here and turn things around, clearly compared to competitor agencies, I just wrote a column about London, that over the longer term, we are going to have to raise fares. And I think that there are ways to do that using technology in terms of congestion pricing and other things that can really minimize the impact on the people who would be most adversely affected by the impact.
Let's just be clear. Congestion pricing has to do with cars on the road, though, right? I mean, is that the
different pricing for different modes, different pricing for different times of day. You can even do a lower priced passes for people who show need. There's a whole variety of things you can do with technology today that can.
I definitely agree with that. London is a bad comparison right now because of their type of congestion, pricing for cars. In order to drive into London, you have to pay.
You got to pay extra. Yep.
You got to pay extra.
I actually like that.
But that's fine. if you have that, then you can have higher fares potentially. Right. But you can't do that in a city like Boston, where people will just switch to driving, and it'll cause a lot of problems for everybody.
So let me ask you both of you. We're running down on time here, and I am very curious about this question of action now and the motivation to do it, because one of the things that I see in this report is that there is an action plan. Part of it would fall on Governor Baker's shoulders to make some changes, but basically there's a whole section saying, hey, legislature, it's your turn to do something. It's your turn to say, okay, the state's going to take back that legacy and big dig debt. It's your turn to help fill in the cost to move people off of the capital, employees off the capital budget, back onto the operating budget, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There are some specific prescriptions for action. Do you think that there is actually the political will right now, and Charlie, I'll just start with you, to do it?
Well, I would say this. I would say that whether there is or not, time will tell. We are certainly in a better position in terms of there being political will. We are closer to getting there right now than any time in the past. I think that, again, what this report, we need more money in the long run. I think clearly what this report says is that pouring more money into this agency as it is right now is like pouring money out the window.
And what I would say is that there is going to be appetite to make changes and to help the T and the legislature. I think the individual reforms, not every individual reform is going to be picked up by the legislature, but otherwise, yes. But I think what's really important to understand here is revenue is not something you just turn on like a faucet. That's a conversation you have to start right away if you want to have it in the near future. And so while you're implementing reforms, it is really important to start the conversation about revenue so it's in place at the time to make these reforms work.
Right. Well, we're out of time here, but I just wanted to read one last little thought. It was delivered in 2013 in testimony before the Joint Committee on Transportation on Beacon Hill. And the person said, Massachusetts cannot stay competitive regionally, nationally, or globally without making substantial and long-term investment in creating a 21st century transportation system. I look forward to working with you and others in the legislature to craft a package that makes the necessary investments in our Commonwealth and its transportation system. And that came from the person who is now our Secretary of Transportation, Stephanie Pollack. So, I mean, she's a smart person and knows a lot about this issue, and I look forward to seeing what she and Governor Baker and the rest of the legislative leadership on Beacon Hill can do with this now that we have the report in hand. So, Charlie Chipio, Principal at Chipio Strategies and Senior Fellow at the Pioneer Institute, always great to have you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Raphael Maris, Senior Attorney for the Conservation Law Foundation, thank you for joining us as well today.
Thank you.